A Muslim pupil in the United Kingdom has lost a court challenge against a top London school's ban on prayer rituals in a case about freedom of religion, a school that has captured the national's audience attention. The student, who cannot be named, took legal action against the school in northwest London. We're joined on the line by Dr. Abdul Wahid, commentator on political and Islamic affairs. Dr. Abdul Wahid, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you and all the listeners.
Shukran for joining us. We appreciate your time. Perhaps you could begin by giving us the background to the story.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Salatu wa salam ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. The school is a slightly unusual one. It is a state school. It is a government school. But it is not a typical government school. There is a small number of government schools that are given more autonomy to determine the ethos in the school. And the school has become quite famous because the head teacher there and the governing body there, they are, in a political perspective, from the right-wing end of the spectrum, more conservative, and they have adopted some very traditional values in the school. So very, very strict discipline in the school, or no tolerance policy on anything, very little space to do anything outside of what's in the school rules. And some of these things are very beneficial. They have communal lunches where people are supposed to help each other, sit down together, serve, share the food. And some of these things are very strict. So one Muslim student there, now the school is in an area of London, not very far from where I live, with a very diverse population. I would argue probably most of the children in this school will not actually be from a traditional English, white English background. They will be from a variety of backgrounds. But about 50% of the children in this school are Muslim. And I can understand why many Muslim parents might see the school with a strict discipline policy might be something that they like. But one of the children was concerned that as she was growing older and had matured and had gone from childhood through adolescence into adulthood from an Islamic perspective, she was baligha, she passed puberty, the issue of obligatory prayers would be difficult. In the UK, our winter time, the sun sets very early. So the window of time you have to pray dhuhr is between about midday and 2 o'clock, and the school day doesn't finish until 3. So it's not really possible to pray your dhuhr prayer at home in the wintertime. So this particular student had wanted to start doing her salah. She decided not to raise it with the school directly because various reasons, she said. The school is so strict that if it's not explicitly allowed, you'll be told you're not allowed to do it. And she'd heard that other children had raised the issue of congregational salah before, and it had been rejected. So she took, in some of her own break time in the lunchtime, to praying in the play area by herself just for 5 minutes. And from what I understand, maybe some other children might have joined her. And this was something that the school eventually decided to stop, because they decided that it was not in line with their what they describe as a secular ethos in the school. Now, this is actually very contested here, because there are many other factors here which were taken into account. So, for example, the school says they approached a certain mosque which said that it would be okay for the children to make qada prayers, to make them up afterwards if they missed them at school. The mosque actually issued a statement today saying they have never been part of this decision, so they don't know where this came from. But the bottom line is, this is being seen as victory for secularism over the right of a Muslim student to pray in the school time. And the law there is supposed to be an equalities law, a human rights law here. They always talk in their diversity training in schools, in healthcare, in every walk of life, that people's religious freedom is something that is protected. And you would have thought the fact that Muslims, by our faith, are obliged to do ritual prayers five times a day, you would have thought this was something that would be protected. But the judge in this case has ruled, on the basis of the information before him, that this was not the case. In fact, the judge said the school was an explicitly secular school. So when the child chose to go there, they knew that there would be some restrictions on what they could do. And they'd made that choice. They could go to another school which accommodates these things. And my understanding is actually in Britain, there's no such thing as a secular school. There are civil schools, and civil schools are, for the most part, multi-faith, multicultural. And there are a few faith schools which have a particular faith ethos. There's no such thing, and I can't see it on the school's website, that it explicitly says it's a secular school, like France is a secular country, or like China wants to abolish all kinds of religious practice. Yes, it does promote certain types of integration in the school, but to the idea that a child praying for 5 or 10 minutes in the playground in break time is at some kind of threat to that school ethos suggests to many of us that the school ethos is very weak, actually, if they see that as some kind of a threat. I would honestly say this is bizarre. My experience in Britain with ordinary British people is, whether it's in a healthcare setting or a school setting or a work setting, or if I have to go somewhere at a public place for a meeting, if I say to somebody, I have to pray my lunchtime prayer, is there a space I can pray in? Is there a corner I can pray in? Most people, just through common courtesy and civility, do their best to try and accommodate you. If there really is nowhere, they very politely apologize and say, look, there really isn't anywhere. If you want to find somewhere in the parking lot or something, you're very welcome to, but we don't have anywhere in here. But they never impose these things in the kind of way this school has. And this gives you some idea of the trend and thrust that the politics is directing Britain into. This school teacher, she has links with the right-wing Conservative government in the past. She was an advisor to them. This school, one of its former governors, was the most extreme British politician, Suella Braverman, who, is when she was the Home Secretary here, the Minister for Home Affairs here, was very against the pro-Palestinian demonstrations in London. She characterized them as hate marches and wanted to see them banned. So this is seen by most of the Muslim community as a very politicized decision, and by the school, and maybe even by the judiciary, in line with a lot of what's happened in Britain in recent months and years, actually.
Mm. Okay, so that gives us the overview of what has transpired, in terms of this entire debacle. And what is the way forward now? What is the next step?
I think Muslim organizations here are looking at whether or not this ruling can be challenged. They will be looking at a local level to see that the dialogue with schools is healthy and constructive. As I say, most schools in this area of Northwest London, which have any kind of either Muslim majority or significant Muslim minority community, are very accommodating for things like prayers, the Dhuhr prayers in the lunchtime. They're very, very accommodating, most schools are. But it does actually also lend us some food for thought as Muslims here, because 50% of the children going to this school are Muslim. And the school is famous for getting excellent academic results compared to other schools. And as Muslim parents, we probably have to decide, do we want to prioritize our desire, our legitimate desire for our children to do well academically over our legitimate desire for our children to do well in terms of their Islamic identity and akhirah? If we do, then, well, sadly, you will put your children into schools which don't allow your children to pray. don't accommodate their Islam in any way, shape or form. And in fact, the school will be working very hard to actually undermine that Islamic identity in favor of, well, if this is a secular school, then it will be in favor of a secular identity. And, or as Muslim parents, if we value the akhirah for our children and their Islamic identity, then should we be making different kinds of choices that actually promote our children in terms of their complete well-being and education, and not just their exams that they take when they're age 16? And I think that's one of the biggest questions the Muslim community has to be asking itself in this particular case.
Yes, certainly. Those are the deeper questions that need to be looked at. We appreciate you bringing us up to speed on this particular issue. Jazakumullah khair for availing yourself.
Barakallahu fiqh. Take care, Sheikh. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.